Congregation, nobody likes death. Death is awful. Death is not a friend. Maybe a conquered enemy for God's people. But death itself is hostile. It is also a consequence of sin. And I don't understand how people can mock with death. Like at Halloween, you see it Halloween. It's probably a way of coping with the fear of death, trying to just laugh it away, laugh it off. But death is not trivial. Death is not a friend. Death is real. And don't we always often feel that cold hand of death close by, and that death around the corner? Is it not in the hearts of parents often that fear, kind of, oh, death for my children, for myself? You know, fear of death. Yes, also the fear of the coronavirus, right? The fear for COVID. So that's why some people, out of fear, take vaccinations. And others the opposite. And others say, you know, I'm so fearful for the vaccines that they will kill me. So fear of that plays a big role in those decisions. And others just say, it's a hoax, I don't want to have anything to do with it, it's not that bad. And that might be, I say it carefully, might be also denial. And also in the background, that fear of death. You know, some people fear the vaccine even more, and they're terrified by it. Fear. And some don't fear at all, right? Well, fear of death is quite common, and there's a connection between fear of death and dying and Christmas and baptism and the birth of a child. And the birth of the child. So let me show you from the Bible that there's a connection between the fear of death and the coming of the Lord Jesus. So Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. Let's read it. And let's go slow. Hebrews 2, 14. For as much then as the children... So children is not only the little ones, we're all children, aren't we? We're all children of our parents. So children refers to all people. For as much then as we, as children, are partakers of flesh and blood, are we? We have flesh and blood, right? We have a body. He also himself, the Lord Jesus also, like himself, took also a body. Likewise, took part of the same. So the children are born in the flesh. And he likewise, as the children are partakers, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death, see that? Through death. So he became himself likewise the children, so that he likewise through death might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, by Christ delivered from the fear of death. I could also say by the birth of Christ. Let me insert that. By the birth of Christ, delivered from the fear of death. Three thoughts. Fear of death in the human nature. Secondly, Christ's death in the human nature. And in the third place, sin is delivered from death, including the human nature. So, by the birth of Christ, delivered from the fear of death. The fear of death in the human nature, Christ's death in the human nature, and sin is delivered from death, including the human nature. Congregation, the author of Hebrews, some say this Paul, and others don't know about it, and just leave it open. Whatever it is, has written to the congregations, and it is a sermon, right? Hebrews is a sermon. It's not an epistle. And he preaches on the two covenants, on the two testaments, the old covenant and the new covenant. And he compares them constantly. And he calls the second covenant the better covenant, the more excellent covenant, the deeper covenant. And so he writes here about that same thing, that in the Old Testament people had the fear of death. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus came to take that fear away in the New Covenant. So, what fear is that? It talks about the fear of death. And people in their entire lifetime in bondage, in slavery, right? In verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, or 15, delivered them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. So there is a slave master, the son who keeps entire mankind in bondage. He keeps people fearing. He instills fear constantly. He likes them, people that are terrified. And he likes them to be in that bondage, in that prison of being not themselves, and being scared of death. That's his slavery. So how come? So what is so fearful about death? Why do you fear death? Well, in the first place, let me say this, that in our time and age, there is probably, in a sense, less fear of death than in the past. Because so many young people have never seen a dead person close by. Maybe at a funeral, they just quickly, for a few seconds, look at the casket, but they've never really processed death. Because never someone close was taken away yet. So maybe they're in their 40s, in their 50s even, and have never been to the funeral of a close relative. So there's that be unfamiliar with death. I've been a couple of times in Indonesia, in Irian Jaya, and the average age is 40 or 50 or so. And lots of children die, and there are huts that burn, and they talk with the people about death. Death is so normal. They're so familiar with it. And it's part of their life to think about that. So many of us don't want to even think about it because we are not familiar with it. And then when it comes, you're so unprepared. And we fear. We fear the death. Then we hear that we have cancer or there's something else. We are terrified because that fear of death, because death is so strange. And death gives the feeling of guilt. Even in the hearts of secular people that do not believe in anything. When you would visit them in the hospital and they're dying, suppose you would dare to ask, any regrets? Any mistakes you made? Anything you would like to do over? Anything like you'd like to apologize for? Were you perfect? You know, they always say, just don't talk to me like that. Because everyone feels somehow in his conscience that there was no mistakes made and sins done. And that feeling of misery, is coming. So that's why people don't like that, because there is the feeling of guilt and the feeling of judgment. Although many people suppress that thought and don't want to think about it, but deep down in the heart, stuck away is the fear of death, because I was not perfect and I made mistakes and I cannot do it over. And then maybe there is someone I have to give account to. There's the fear of death because others continue in this life. And do I have to quit? Others continue and I have come to an end. So that means that I'm not needed, that I'm not part of this life anymore, that I'm insignificant. I cannot buy anymore, I cannot sell anymore, I cannot travel anymore, I cannot talk anymore, I cannot eat anymore, I cannot smell anymore. It's all over. It's scary. So deliver them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. All their lifetime, their whole life, it's around the corner. Oh, be careful, you could die. Any moment of the day. Bondage. So some say, me, I am not in bondage. I never think of death. I live my life and I don't worry about it. Maybe later I will deal with it, not now. I have a question for you. Why don't you think of death? Are you one of those? I don't think about death. Why not? I think that I know why you don't think much of death. It's because you don't want to. And you don't want to because death is depressing. Right? Depressing. That's not something joyful. I understand. So you don't like death either. And that is the bondage we hear about. You're not prepared to die. So that's why you don't want to think about death. You're not ready. You're not ready for the process of dying, neither of what's coming after death. So that bondage is a result of our sins, right? We have chosen death. We have separated ourselves from God. We have caused that great schism, that ripping apart of the material and immaterial part of our being. We're separating that. We do not need to fear that we will live shorter than we were supposed to. Calvin writes, we are safe from all risk until God is pleased to call us away, but we do not know what time that will be. You know, there's that fear. But we have to realize that it's a bondage. So let me show from the Bible about that. Psalm 88, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. That's about Heman, his whole lifetime, afflicted and ready to die. And you know about Psalm 51, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, right? So from the very beginning, it is that fear of death. Because of our sins. Brings to the second thought. Christ's death in the human nature. So for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Lord Jesus took part of the same. We are people of flesh and blood and are through and through human. Aren't we? Well, he, Christ, took part of the same. That is Christmas, right? He took part of the same body and blood. I felt that at the funeral this week, standing in that little grave. You know, I had that this text in my mind, and the sermon was on my mind. And I thought of the birth of Christ and also the burial of Christ. And the Lord Jesus took upon himself the human nature to do the same. To do the same, to die. That's why. One of the main reasons why the Lord Jesus was born and took upon himself flesh and blood was to die. He said to his Father in eternity, I want to die. I have to die. I'd like to go to earth in order to die. Not to live. Not to just make people happy. Not just to give people meaningful lives. But in the first place, to die. To take that wrath of God away. He assumed the same flesh and blood. Not similar flesh and blood. Exactly the same. He became equal to his brethren in all things, except he never sinned. But for the rest, he was truly human. So, that's why he is the Emmanuel. And he did take flesh and blood so that he could die. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. So the Lord Jesus was not born to live, but to die. It was not decided later that he would die. It was not an afterthought. It was not an accident. It was the plan. He was willing. God had decreed from eternity that God's Son would die. But he could not die. In the divine nature, he couldn't die. So that was impossible. But someone needed to die in the flesh. And being true God and becoming true righteous man. So that's why the Lord Jesus was born, to die. It's not so romantic. It is not so sweet. It is not about the shepherds and the stars and the bonfire and the sheep and just idyllic and romantic things. It was absolutely serious thing. The Lord Jesus took upon himself that human nature to die, to deliver from the fear of death, by death. Remember that strange title of the book of John Owen about death? You know, the title is this, the title of the book John Owen wrote, The Death of Death, by the death of Christ. So he killed death. By his death. It's like the Lord Jesus came. The death of the death. By the death of Christ. So there are more reasons why the Lord Jesus died, right? He also had to obey the law. We call that active obedience. He also took upon himself the human nature, because the human nature had died, had sinned. So in order to be a savior of them, he had to come close to them. He had to become the representative of them. He also became human in order to be able to empathize. But yet, one of those main things is that he wanted to suffer and to die, and to even crucify. So let me show that from the Bible, that the death of Christ is in that sense so important. And the Word was made flesh. See, the Word of God, the Word, the eternal Word, the Logos, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Lord Jesus assumed the human nature, the flesh, and that's why we could see His glory. For what the law could not do, the law says, obey me, do what's right. But the law cannot save us anymore, right? Because we are so stubborn and unwilling and dead. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, in our flesh we cannot obey the law, God sending His own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So in the flesh, sin was condemned because the law was not able to do it. So the Lord Jesus came, but made Himself, Philippians 2, made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this in one sentence, in Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul mentions the birth of Christ connected to the death of Christ. That He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Zechariah sang. That we, delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. So it's the fear of death. And a fear of death can only be taken away when the Lord gives the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Him taking death, assuming the human nature to say, let me die in your place. Satan loves death. He has, in a sense, the power of death. You know, death is one of the masterpieces of the devil. Hell and death are the masterpieces of Satan. He loves it to kill people and to destroy them and to let them go to hell. And he tries to keep people in that fear. He loves it when people are terrified and can't live on, are so depressed. It's so impossible. And they don't think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves that. But the Lord Jesus has the keys, and He has not. And when He saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His hand, right hand upon me, saying, and fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. So we need to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the faith in Him and in his human nature in order to be delivered from that constant, lifelong fear of death. So, what do we love in Christ? What do we know of Him? Do we know Him by a name He has? Have we enjoyed one of His names, Emmanuel or something? Have we loved one of His offices and received insight into that? What about His human nature? Knowing Him in His human nature, And they become so precious that he just said, I would like to be in your nature. I like your flesh and blood. I take it. I want to sit next to you. And I want to be substitute. And I would like to die for you. So death is a fearful thing. And that's why we need to be born again. To be made family of the Lord Jesus. So that he becomes our oldest brother. Our oldest brother. By grace. By the work of the Holy Spirit. So we read about that in John 1, verse 13. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So by regeneration, people become family of the Lord, and then the Lord Jesus is their oldest brother. Then they're brought up in that special family of the Lord. So he wanted to be family of the redeemed, and he wanted to make perfect through suffering. Yes, he was willing to be the brother, not being a bad brother, but a perfect brother. You know, Abel and Cain, children, they're fighting, they're brothers. And Cain was the bad brother, right? Not the good one. Or think of the prodigal son and his older brother. His older brother was not willing to rejoice in his return. But the Lord Jesus is the oldest brother, the good brother of his church. And he took upon himself the human nature because he wanted to stand next to them to the glory of the Father and to the salvation of sinners. Brings to the third thought. Sinners delivered from death, including the human nature. So then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that is the power of death and deliver them. So to destroy and to deliver. And also look at verse 17. Therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. A few things. Remember the high priest? Children, the high priest? Once a year, right? Only once a year he could go into the most holy place, behind the veil. On the Day of Atonement, he often looked up against that, I suppose, and also had a desire to go there. And before he went in, he had to sacrifice himself for his own family, for the people. And they were slaughtering animals, and they took the blood inside and sprinkled the blood upon the ark and before the ark. And then he had to come back again, and was for a year the door was closed. But that high priest had to do it every year again. Why every year? Why does he not stop? Because it didn't work. It didn't work. It did not do anything. It was an example of something that was coming. But in itself, that sacrificing of that animal was futile. It was only pointing to something else, to the sacrifice. So what sacrifice? The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus brought. What was his sacrifice? His body and blood. His flesh and blood. So on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Christmas, when the Lord Jesus was born, we celebrate that he brought the sacrifice into the world. that he brought his flesh and blood into this world so that he could sacrifice them. So he could give his life up and lay down before the Lord. So when we die, our death is never a substitute for anything. Our death is not that worthy. But the death of Christ, who took upon himself the human nature to take that fear of death away, he wanted to deliver and he wanted to make reconciliation for the people. Reconciliation for the people. Deliver. From what? Did the Lord Jesus deliver only from fear? Did he only deliver from the consequences of sin? He also delivers from the wrath of sin. He drained the wrath of God. And that's why he came to the world. And that's why he lived only 33 years from his birth to his burial. And there was his plan all the time, all the way. The plan all the way from the beginning to the end was to go to the grave, to be buried, to be crucified before that, and to absorb the wrath of God in his human nature. He gave his own blood. And that's why in the sermon of the Hebrews, we so often see it, right? That in the New Testament is a better covenant. Because in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, it had to repeat all the time. In the New Testament, it's once and that's for all. So often you see in the chapters 9 and 10 and so on, that the Lord Jesus once offered for all his own body, his own flesh, his own blood. So he took that sting of death away. So that they that believe in him don't have to fear all the time, but that they may be calm and follow. And that does not mean that God's people are always happy and always confident and that they never fear death. They do, but it's different. Time and again, the Lord opens their eyes for the fact that the Lord Jesus took upon himself the same human nature and that he was willing to pay the price to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, to deliver them, to make them loose, to take them away from that, to free them from it. So dying is humbling, right? It shows our weakness. That's right. That's not always so easy. So we read in this verse 15 and 15 about the fear of death, about him who came to deliver from death, and we read about the fact what he exactly did, giving his own body and his own blood. So let me close with a word of application. Well, this is me for parents baptizing. Maybe you have baptized your children before. You have done it this morning. Well, our children are not spirits. Our children are not devils. Our children have a human nature. They have flesh and blood. They were born from us. They have our flesh and our blood. And the Lord Jesus joined that group. The Lord Jesus said, you have children. You have flesh and blood of each other. I would like to be equal with you. I would like to be close to you. This is not only similar, but like you. So we may educate our children and say, boy, girl, you're born. You have a body. And you know what? The Lord Jesus, he took also that body. He joined mankind. He came so close. He's Emmanuel. so you may raise your children like that. And also as parents, it may be your comfort, right? That your children can be safe because he came as the oldest brother in the same nature. So that's how close the Lord Jesus is. Equal to his brethren in all things, sin excepted, of course. He was also so different. We also teach our children that he is similar, the same, and yet so different, as he had no sin. So, you hold your baby. You love the baby. But that's not only the same as Christ in the manger, it's also different. He had no sin. And yet he said, I'd like to die. Yet he said, I'd like to be buried. Although he had no sin. Let me say a few words to them that lost a child. You know, as we stood at the grave of a little baby this week, the baby was born and died. That's, in short, what the Lord Jesus came for. I just saw that this week. The Lord Jesus being born. He also had to be buried. So he died and he will rise from the dead. What happened to the Lord Jesus? That he was born and suffered, lived, suffered, died, was buried. He rose. All those things, same things will happen to those babies. They also will rise. And if they are of God's people, and we have hope that the Lord remembers the little ones of the congregation and the children of the believers, he is a good doing God, they may have that hope of the resurrection, that this is not the end either. A word for them that fear death. Maybe you're petrified. Maybe you're depressed about all things. And you say, I don't know it anymore. I just don't know where to turn. You know, think of the death of the Lord Jesus. That he came into this world to save and to deliver from that fear of death. You need to seek him. You know, whatever your opinion is about vaccination, I leave it alone. In any case, you need this to be delivered from the fear of death and nothing else. Vaccination or no vaccination or whatever it is, it does not take the fear of death away. It does not take the sin away. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't solve anything. Because you have to die anyway. So you need to find this Savior who is able to deliver you from the fear of death and the bondage of death. You know, that is so, what is the word? Relaxing. When you don't have to worry about all those things and maybe you're vaccinated, maybe you're not. In this way, it does make a difference if you may rely on that. If you may rely on that Savior who was assuming our flesh and blood and conquered death. And now death is an enemy that is conquered, that is defeated. It's a message for all of us. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we need to be delivered from the wrath to come. No vaccination or nothing like that. He's delivering us from the wrath of God. And if you say, I don't want to do that. I'm not vaccinated. That doesn't help you either from the wrath of God. You need that being saved from hell and death by the Savior, Christ Jesus. He's the only one who has good reasons the only one who has the real solution to save people from their sins. And the word for God's children, you do not need to be afraid. You don't need to see those dark clouds. Christ came to destroy him and had the power to kill. He is still out there, but he has no power anymore. And if you do not have peace with death, it will come when you need it. Because the sting is taken out of it. But let me say to all God's people what also baptism speaks of. Your sins are covered. He has delivered you from the fear of death. He took upon himself the human nature, and he was willing to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So death is conquered for the church. Fear not. You will be fine when you are in his hands and you go through the river of death. You will be carried through because he is the one who took upon himself the flesh and blood to take that fear away. And you will have peace with God. So whenever that time comes that they roll you into the ICU or that you feel that you don't see your beloved ones anymore, think of this next. Think of Christmas. Think on your stretcher, on your hospital bed, or at home. Think of the birth of Christ. And say, Lord, he was born in the same flesh, in the same blood, to deliver people like me and to be equal to his brethren in all things, sin excepted, to take the fear away and to deliver them and to make reconciliation for them. Take the wrath of God away. And then you have to leave everything behind. But you know, it's fine. That is not that important. That you don't have importance anymore. Whatever. That you don't enjoy this life anymore. There's nobody who loves you anymore the same way. But then there is something you may enjoy forever. The love of God. That's all that counts. That's the only thing that God's people may keep when they leave this life. They may keep the love of God and everything else goes. So what are you busy with? What are you working so hard for? Do you realize that death is coming anyway? So I hope that you can continue the same way as you were born. And that you feel that urgency to be delivered from the fear of death. And there is that possibility. So don't drown yourself in the things of this life. Don't live in the dream. But be real and say, Lord, I need to die. And therefore the Lord Jesus born, may he be my Savior. Oh, that believing in him, whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.